That was definitely. And it's like, Lord, save my soul. I just think Brother Moore. But you know, when he got, you know, when you down, you don't see no names up there. You got everything good, and he didn't get across that shoulder. And I could see him down. I love him so much. And that reminds me of that. You know, I get lonely sometimes. I don't have a brother or a sister, any in-laws. I don't really have any immediate family left. Number one. But that was a one, because I heard. They put wine, but I know wine they have on the right side. Really, but faith I know now. Nothing on wine's still here. She couldn't come tonight because her mother had to work late. She couldn't come to church to pray. She won't spend the night at anybody else's house, so. But she'll be here. I just thank God I'm still fasting on that. I wish to every child that's here tonight that don't know the Lord could have been here hearing her praying, just praying out loud from the bottom of her heart. She was determined for 2 hours vocally praying out to God. You do that, you can get where you can lay it all down and don't hear what somebody else says. Or what somebody else is doing. You get that book by that thing, he's gonna, you know, he's gonna save you. I promise you that. He's gonna save you. But I'm just glad to be here and I already feel his spirit. I know he's gonna live to you. I give you the words you need to say tonight. But if I let you and all of you know that.
Appreciate this. Appreciate the good singing. Appreciate Brother Paul coming and being willing to be used of the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody else, something on your heart tonight? Amen. Bless your heart. We're trying to know the Lord is able to hear and answer prayers. Appreciate that. Somebody else, something on your heart tonight? We do need your prayers, as Brother Casey made mention earlier. I need the Lord's help. And I'm glad to be in the Lord's house tonight, thankful for His Holy Spirit that we're able to feel. And I really appreciate not only Brother Paul singing, but I appreciate his helpers. Help them sing too. And it is beautiful to see a sinner that's been saved and the change in their heart and in their face and their desire to please the Lord. And I want to encourage Braxton, Brother Braxton, to just keep following the Lord. Let the Lord use him. Do pray for me tonight. I feel very much in need of the Lord's help. And each time we stand, we need his help, sometimes worse than others. And tonight, I really need his help tonight. So please pray for me. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, God is dealing with your heart. We want to encourage you to seek the Lord. If you're saved, we want to encourage you to just follow the Lord tonight. So please, everybody, do that. If you would like to follow along, we're going to begin reading some verses of scriptures found in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. For our reading lesson tonight, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 is where we're going to begin. Solomon is known as most likely the author of Ecclesiastes. And he says this, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth,
what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainted mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was the good for the sons of men, what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees of them, in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith, the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and I had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men of as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in mine heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now I want you to listen to this, what Solomon said. Yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are as sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give it to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. I know that was a rather long reading lesson tonight. It was the entire second chapter of Ecclesiastes, but I felt compelled to share that with you tonight of Solomon as he began to tell us of his life and his great desire to search out all the things that are here in this world and here in this life. He sought to learn about wisdom. He sought to learn about folly. He sought to learn about riches and to gain all that he possibly could of knowledge and understanding. And he, according to the Scriptures, was one of the most wisest men that ever walked the face of the earth. And he gained great and many things. But Solomon realized something. He realized that he had to leave them to somebody else. Tonight I want to ask you a question. What are you going to leave behind? What are you going to leave behind? All of us have an appointment with death. Solomon said, so happeneth to the fool, it happeneth to the wise. There's appointment with death for every single person. Even in this church house, every one of us is appointed a time that we're going to face death. And the question of the matter is, what will you leave behind? You see, Solomon had all these riches and all this wisdom and all this knowledge and all this understanding. And he said, I'm going to leave it to a son that I don't know if he'll care about anything I'm leaving to him. I'm leaving it to somebody that I don't know if he has any desire to take up what I have left to him. But at the end of the day, I'm leaving it regardless. You can't take those things with you. He had to leave behind some great things. You know, Solomon, he left behind a great kingdom that God had allowed him to establish. And it was a mighty kingdom. It was a powerful kingdom. It was a very rich kingdom. The Scripture tells us of how great that it was. But he left it to his son. You see, even towards the end of Solomon's life, we know that he sinned against God. We know that he had many strange wives. The Scripture says in 1 Kings in the 11th chapter, and those strange wives, they turned his heart away from the Lord. He found himself in a place that he didn't need to be, that God had warned him of, he had cautioned him about, and yet he went that direction. And so what happened? Well, he eventually died, just like we're all going to. And he left behind some things for his son. He left behind a great kingdom. He left behind wisdom. He left behind riches and many things. But his son, we see, didn't do very well with those things. And he did not follow after the Lord David, Solomon's father, the way that he should. His name was Rehoboam, and he sought to ask counsel, you see, of different individuals. And first he came and asked counsel of the elders, and they told him that your father has made our toil and made our labor heavy, and if you would just make it a little bit lighter, we'll be your servants and we'll serve you. But he went to his friends and people that were young men that were around his age, and he asked counsel of them. And you can find this in the Kings. I can read it if you want, but I don't feel necessary to do so tonight. But what I want you to know is this young man, he sought counsel in the wrong place, and he ended up ruling the kingdom in a way that God was not pleased. He was not a good ruler. You see, Solomon left behind his will, you might say, of what he would desire to leave behind for a son that didn't carry out what he should have. Didn't continue on in the ways that he should have. But I want you to know tonight that there's someone that has desired to leave something a whole lot better than Solomon has. He has left behind us a will and a testament. And I'm so thankful of what he's left for us. And if you would, I want you to follow along with us, and you just pray for me tonight. I want to try to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I want God to receive the honor and glory tonight. But if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, and you leave the walks of this life, as far as we know, if you don't make peace with God according to the Word of God, you will spend eternity in hell. And we that are left behind, all we have is what we have of memories of you here. If you've been saved, leave behind a testimony. Leave behind a testimony of what God has done for you. Hebrews in the 9th chapter, in the 13th verse, says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." You see, when somebody that is leaving this life, if they have children, if they have loved ones, they leave behind an inheritance. Hopefully they do. If they've labored and they've worked and they've laid up some things here, they leave behind an inheritance for their children. I want you to know that there is someone that came into this world to leave us an inheritance. And it's the best inheritance that anyone has ever experienced and will ever experience. And it is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. He says that we might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Our inheritance. You know, a lot of people, when they get that inheritance, they spend it. It's gone. It's used. It's just blows away, just like the many vanities that Solomon was talking about. I'm glad that when you come to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin and you experience a little taste of that eternal inheritance, it's just that. It's eternal. It lasts forever and ever. He says, "For where a testimony is." Now, what does that word mean? Where a testament or a solemn, authentic instrument in writing by which a person declares his will as to the disposal of his estate and effects after his death. It's also called a will. You say, well, what's that got to do with Jesus? What's that got to do with the Old Testament and the New Testament? You know, God, He established the Old Testament there, and we're going to read about that in just here in a moment with the Lord will help us. But I want you to know Jesus established a New Testament and new will when He came into this world, and He left that when He gave His life for you and I. Listen. "For where a testament is," or that will, "is a force after men are dead." People don't get their inheritance most of the time, or that will is not carried out until an individual passes away. But when that individual passes away, they leave their loved ones their possessions because you can't take them with you. You're not going to be able to carry these worldly possessions over to the other side. So Jesus, here in this life, He came. And you see, people, when they work in this life, they gain things just like Solomon did. He labored and he worked and he had all these things. And he left his will, his testament, his things to his son who squandered them away and did not use them to the honor and glory of God. I want you to know Jesus came into this world. He worked very diligently. He accomplished the purposes that he needed to do. And he has left his will and testament for you and I. Listen. You pray for me tonight. I want to get this right with the help of the Lord. For of a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament, that first covenant, first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined to you." Now this also means a covenant. God is a covenant God, and He made a covenant with the children of Israel here. In that covenant, He made a promise to them that if they would continue to follow Him and to do the things He would have them to do, He would be their God. They would be His people. But you know what they did? They broke the covenant. They failed. They didn't hold up their end of the bargain. But God is still faithful. He's still true. And so you know what Jesus did? He didn't just say, "Well, we just need to do away with this whole covenant." You know what He did? He fulfilled the covenant. He fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law and accomplished the things that were therein, because no other person was able to do that. Everybody is a sinner. Jesus came and He fulfilled every bit of it. But you know what He did? He didn't do away with it. He established it. And then He set forth the grounds of a new and a better covenant. A covenant not according to works, but a covenant of grace. And I'm so thankful for the covenant that Jesus came and established here in this world. And thanks be unto God, we're under that new covenant of grace that Jesus has established. Listen. Saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined you unto you." Moreover, He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. You see, there had to be bloodshed. But earlier in the Scripture we read that it was not possible, and we'll find throughout the Hebrew letter, it was not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats could ever take away sin. It was just a little covering, and it was a pushing forward of year after year how they would go, and it was a continual remembrance that those sacrifices were not acceptable enough to completely forgive and remove sin. They were pointing to the Lamb of God that would come and not just cover up sin, but wipe the slate clean completely. Jesus came to forgive it and to remit it. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, of which I want to remind you that He had to first sacrifice for Himself before He could even bring an offering for the people. Not my Lord. Jesus had no sin. Correction, He has no sin. Still doesn't. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Jesus established a testament, a will, a desire that when His life would be given for the ransom of sin, that there would be an inheritance left for some that would trust in Him. And as it is appointed unto men once to die after this, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus left us a great inheritance. He has left us something that we don't deserve, but I'm so thankful that He has left us a great inheritance. Listen, again, we ask you, please pray for us tonight. Solomon left his son a kingdom. I want you to know Jesus came into this world to place a kingdom here, and He has left for us a kingdom. Listen, the Scripture says in Luke, the 17th chapter, there were some that came to Him in the 20th verse, and when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." If you have been saved by God's grace, I'm thankful that God has allowed us to be a little part of that. Now, I believe that Christ came to set up His church in this world, His kingdom, and getting saved doesn't automatically make you a part of the Lord's church. You've got to unite yourself, and the church has to authorize for you to be baptism, and through that waters of baptism, you have access into the Lord's church after first and only you've been saved. But we have a kingdom that He has given us here in this world. He has blessed us. Listen to what Daniel said about that kingdom. You pray for me tonight, please. I want to get this right. Daniel said about that kingdom here. We can read about it in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. "And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. I shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." What did he mean by it won't be left for other people? You know who it'd be left to? Those that have been saved by God's marvelous grace. Those that have been born again into the family of God. Jesus told Nicodemus there in the 3rd chapter of John, He said, "Unless ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God." You can't even see it, let alone be a part of it. You've got to be saved first and foremost to be able to experience the kingdom of God. But you know what? Our great Savior, He's left us a kingdom here in this world. I'm so thankful. This kingdom, it's a glorious kingdom that He has left here. His church that He has established here in this world, He has left it for us here. And He would desire of us to be part of that kingdom. And in that kingdom, you know what there is? There's kings and there's priests in that kingdom. If you've been saved by God's grace, the Lord wants you to be a part of His church kingdom. He does. That He has established here in this world. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ," well, let's get verse 4. "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was, which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever." He has left for us a great kingdom.
how Solomon left his son a kingdom that he didn't want to do right by, that he wasn't ready to rule with, and he did the things of this world. A church, we of the living God. God has left for us a kingdom here, and it's time for us to take part of that kingdom and to be glad and serve the Lord in that kingdom the way He wants it done. You know what a kingdom has? It has a king. And that king is Jesus Christ. He is the blessed and only potentate, is what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. You say, I thought that when a testament is good, a will is good, it's after somebody dies. And yes, it is. Thank the Lord, His kingdom is good. He purchased it with His own blood. He left it here in this world. But He didn't stay dead. He came forth on that third and glorious day. And His kingdom is still here in this world. Still here. But He's still the King. Just because He's up in heaven doesn't mean He's not still the King. He's still the King. It's a shame to me when the church doesn't let the King rule. Oh, I hope we let the King rule. This isn't, a lot of people get it mixed up and say it's a democracy. I want you to know this is a monarchy, and Jesus is our King. He's the one in charge, and what He says goes. He's left behind us a kingdom, and I'm so thankful that He has. Oh, it's a beautiful kingdom. And if God has saved your soul, you need to be a part of His church kingdom. You do. You know, if you're here tonight and you're lost, Jesus has left you some wisdom in His Word to be instructed by. God's children, He's left us wisdom here in this Word of God. Solomon was known to be one of the wisest. God given him a great wisdom. I want you to know that there's somebody that had more wisdom than Solomon. And His name is Jesus. Listen, He had more wisdom. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I'm glad that God has given us wisdom. When God lets you know you're lost and you feel the fear of God get a hold of your soul, you're beginning to understand about the wisdom that comes from God. The world has wisdom, but that wisdom is foolishness compared to God's wisdom. I tell you what a wise man will do. When God convicts him of his sin, he'll repent of that sin and he'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and he'll get saved. That's wisdom. Getting born again by the Spirit of God. That's wisdom. Maybe you're struggling. The King has left you some wisdom here in His Word. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 says this, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Brother Casey preached to you the other night about hell, and he told you how you're going to have to be willing to let everything go and get everything out of the way if you'll ever be saved. And I say amen to my brother, because if you're not willing to forsake everything, you're not able to be His disciple, is what the Scripture says. Listen, you got to be willing to forsake it all. Jesus said, you've got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. I don't know about y'all, but I love the Proverbs. I love Ecclesiastes. I love the wisdom that God gave Solomon to instruct us with. But I love the Gospels too. I love that Jesus has given us wisdom and understanding. And if you're here tonight and you're confused about your condition, then ask God to give you wisdom about it. And He'll reveal to you. You may not like what He's telling you, but ask Him. He says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" There is nothing more valuable in your life than your soul. I told you, Solomon, he was leaving behind a will, an inheritance to his son. He was not leaving behind his soul. That soul went to be with God. He even tells us that in the book of Ecclesiastes of how when our life is over that the dust goes back to the earth from which it came and the spirit or soul of man goes back to God who gave it. Your soul will be in the presence of God. Someday, could be today. And what will you leave behind? God's children, we want to make sure to leave behind a big inheritance for our children, don't we? We want to make sure that they have it easier and better than we do. I tell you what we need to do. We need to leave behind an inheritance like Jesus did. Something that's worthwhile. Something that we can take with us to glory. Not something that's here that'll burn up someday soon. Tell you, we need to leave behind some true riches. Things that'll last. Solomon left behind riches. When he left this world, he talked about all those riches, all those gardens, all those things that he had built and all those things that he'd made. He didn't take a bit of it with him. Not one piece of money he took with him. Oh, the old pharaohs of old, they want to be buried in those big pyramids and in those big, great tombs, and they want to be buried with all their riches. They didn't take it with them. It's still laying in the grave. Still there. You know what you'll take with you? You'll take your soul with you. And if you've been saved, that soul will go to be with God. You'll be with the Lord. You'll get to experience the remainder of your inheritance. But if you're here and you're lost, and you take that soul that's not prepared to meet God, you'll spend eternity in hell. And you know what else you'll get? You'll get what you deserve. All of us, none of us deserve to be saved. But God made a way through His dear Son that we might be saved. Jesus left behind great riches for us. Some of those riches we can experience while we're here, and I'm thankful that we can experience some of those things while we're here in this life. And I want you to be able to experience those things. John chapter 14 and verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Part of our inheritance, a part of what God has done for us, is that earnest of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit of God that comes inside of our heart. And it's part of what Jesus has left for us. He said, "I won't leave you comfortless." Isn't it good to know that we can feel God dwelling inside of us, leading our life, guiding us into all truth? His Spirit will do that for you. That's part of the inheritance that we receive. You know who receives inheritance? Children do.
But if you're not a child of God, if you've not been saved by God's grace, you're not going to be able to experience the inheritance that Jesus has set aside for you. I believe He made a way for everybody to be able to enjoy these precious promises, the blessings that come from God, of that kingdom that He's given us, the riches that are beyond compare here in this life and in the one to come. He has given us true and precious, exceeding great riches. I tell you what riches I'm talking about is what Brother Casey experienced a couple of nights ago when his own little boy got saved by God's grace. Folks, that's riches, and it's glorious for us to be able to experience those things. It's been left to us. But if you've not been saved, you're missing out on the inheritance that Jesus has left for you. True riches. There was a young witch ruler who thought that riches in this life was more important than eternal riches. He only looked at the here and now, which is what most of the world is doing. That's probably what you're doing right now. When is he going to get done preaching? When can I go? When can I go home? When can I do these things? I want you to know you need to think about your eternal well-being, your soul. If you're not prepared to meet God, you may meet Him tonight. You need to be prepared. And if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart, you have no inheritance. This man, he thought because he was a good person that he deserved the inheritance from God. Good works won't get you to heaven. Being a good person won't get you to heaven. The waters of baptism will not get you to heaven. You know what will get you to heaven? Jesus Christ. Him alone. Matthew chapter 19. I know I've done a lot of reading tonight. Matthew chapter 19. I'll just skip to this part right here. In the 21st verse. Jesus had told him, ask him about the different laws. He said, oh, I've done all these things. What do I lack? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I believe that's the case of a lot that are here tonight, maybe in lost. You've got so many riches that this world has to offer. Maybe you don't have money, but maybe you've got a good family. Maybe you've got a good home, a good place to be. And you're not willing to just lay everything at the feet of Jesus. Let you in on a little secret. He owns everything anyways. He owns it all. You may be borrowing it and be stewarding it for a little while, but it's all His. He created it for His honor and His glory. If you're not willing to lay it down, He's not going to give you His inheritance because you're not a child of His. You've got to be a child of His. And the only way you're going to become a child of His is if He adopts you into His family. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus and His disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Tonight, God has made it possible through the sacrifice of His dear Son for you to be saved. For you to experience an eternal inheritance that's been left by God through His dear Son for you. Part of that inheritance is the riches here and the riches There, when we get there to the other side, part of that inheritance is when the Lord comes back, just as Job said, He's going to call and I'll answer. He'll have a desire to the work of His hands. Part of that inheritance is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that I have experienced a part of that resurrection when He saved my soul, when He made me alive. But I've only experienced part of that. Someday soon, the Lord's going to come back and He's going to split that sky and He's coming forth on that cloud of glory and I'm going to meet Him in the air. And if those that are in the graves, you look out over that graveyard out there, I want you to know we'll not hinder them that are asleep. But when the trump of God sounds, time shall be no more. They'll come forth, and those that have been saved under the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil, those that are sinners that never got born again unto the resurrection of damnation. But thanks be unto God, we that are experiencing part of the inheritance. You know what we'll do? As the old song says, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I won't have this old sin-cursed, sinful flesh. That's where my soul is right now. But someday it's going to go back to the dust of the earth. My soul's going to go back to God. But when Jesus comes back, I'm going to get a new body. And it's part of my inheritance. And in that body and in my flesh, I shall see God, just like Job said. I'll see Him. I think the greatest, if not, it must be the greatest part of our inheritance is, oh, I'll see Jesus. I'll see Him, the one who paid the price for me. Oh, you know, it blesses you when you've got loved ones that leave behind an inheritance for you. They might write you a letter. They might tell you how much they love you. Oh, many of you all know my nanny and my pappy. My grandparents, they didn't have a whole lot, but you know what they did? They left all their grandchildren a little bit of money because I wanted to let them know that they loved them. One last effort of saying, I love you, children. One last thing, you know what? One of these days we're going to meet the Lord Jesus that has given us an inheritance here. Not just here, but in the world to come. And we'll get to thank Him forever and ever and ever and ever for the inheritance that He left us. It's not just any kind of inheritance. It's not one that's going to, like I said, be used up. First Peter 1 and 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. It's not one that's corruptible, it's going to last, and undefiled. Our inheritance here are defiled by man. They're not perfect. I'm telling you, I've got an inheritance that Jesus left that has no defilement. It's perfect. And that fadeth not away. It'll last forever and ever. Never going to fade. And you know what? It's reserved in heaven for you. For who? For everybody that would believe in the Lord Jesus with all their heart, that God adopts into His family. He says, welcome home, my child. He says, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome in to the joys that I have prepared for you from the foundation of the world. An inheritance. That inheritance, it comes jam-packed with eternal life. Eternal life. Not just a long life. I'm talking eternal life. Matthew 10 and 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. Nobody's ever just said, I'll take salvation. No, it's a gift given by God through the dear shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when you fully trust in the Lord, He'll bless you with that gift of eternal life. Eternal life. A lot of people say, just like Brother Casey said, I hope to get there. I know presently that I have eternal life. Presently, it's in my soul. He said, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We are able to have eternal life. What an inheritance that God has blessed us with. I want to close with this. If the Lord be through with us, maybe. You pray for me. My thought tonight is, what will you leave behind? What will you leave behind? Jesus left behind the greatest of all will and testament for us when He gave His life so that you and I might be saved. He left behind the greatest will and testament that anybody could leave behind. What will you leave behind? Will you leave behind a testimony that you've been saved? Or are you just going to leave behind something like Solomon left behind, great riches that won't really amount to anything in eternity? Are you going to leave behind some closing remarks at the end of your journey, how what you've told your family, I've labored, I've done what God would have me to. And so Joshua was, when he had come to the promised land, he said, I don't know what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He left that with them. You know why? Because it was his will and testament for his children and his family was to stay the course. Do what God would have you to do. Even Solomon, at the end, you know what he said in Ecclesiastes? Even though he had failed the Lord, even though he made many mistakes, he wanted his son, his children, his people to know. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He left that. That's a whole lot better than all them 700 wives and 300 concubines and all those high places of worship that He had built for them. He made such a mess with the end of His life. If you've been in the way a long time, you need to finish well and leave a good will and testament behind for your children. Let them know that you've held on to the true and right way. There's an old song that the McCameys is not that old, but they said, I want to finish well. And I do too. You say you're just a young man. This might be my last chance to preach the gospel. It may be my last day here on this earth. And I want my children to know that I'm leaving behind something for them far more precious than gold. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. It's the worship and service of the Lord. I want them to know what was important to their daddy. I want them to know that my life was not perfect, but I tried to serve the Lord. I want them to know that. You know why? Because I want their children and their children and your children and their children and their children till as long as the Lord keeps this world a-spinning to know that they can have a part of inheritance from Christ.
But it's up to us to leave behind something that's valuable to them. Paul instructed the young preacher Timothy there at the end of his journey. He told him basically to finish his course, to stay the course, to do what God would have you to do. Charged him there, told him to preach the gospel, told him about the times that would come when people won't listen. Boy, we're there now. People don't want to hear about the truth. Told him to watch. You know what he said? He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." The Apostle Paul, he had an inheritance waiting on him. If you are going to serve the Lord, you've got some great riches waiting for you. Leave behind something valuable to your family. If you hadn't told your children and your grandchildren your testimony of salvation, go and find some time and just talk to them for a minute and tell them about the day or the night the Lord saved your soul. And let them know how God's been with you through your life. When I go and visit with an old saint that I know is nearing the end of life's journey, if they've got the ability and the mental capacity, you know what I want to know? Tell me about when God saved your soul. Tell me what God has done for you. They may not be able to hardly tell me their name, but most of the time a big smile will come up and they can let me know about what God has done for them. You know why? Because God has given them an inheritance. Doesn't fade away. That'll last forever. And they're leaving it for their loved ones. Folks, leave them something that matters. Leave them something that they can hold on to. Jesus left us everything. He left us His church here to work and to labor. What a blessing. Thank you for listening tonight. I know this may have been scattered in a bunch of different directions, but I pray that God would take it and use it for His honor and His glory. If you're here tonight and you're lost, and you haven't been able to taste of the inheritance that Jesus has left for you, there's still room for you at the cross. There's still an opportunity for you to be adopted into the family of God. But you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart. You're going to have to want Him above everything else, even life itself. God's people, let's be about His business. If we can, let's get a song. Everybody just mind the Lord tonight. If you need to come up here and pray, you just come on. Seek the Lord. Everybody just mind Him tonight. I appreciate your prayers. Appreciate you helping us.